Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
American political history is being written today. On the National Mall, President Trump addressed his supporters, many members of the far-right political groups, and falsely claimed that he won the election. He told them he would never concede, and he again put pressure on Vice President Mike Pence to overturn Joe Biden's win by sending the election back to the states, which Pence does not have the power to do. Mike Pence right now is presiding over a joint session of Congress to formally certify the Electoral College vote count. Here's President Trump.
And Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us, and if he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country. Because you're sworn to uphold our Constitution.
Well, as President Trump was speaking, Vice President Pence released a statement saying that while he would give a fair and open hearing to Republicans objecting to the vote, he cannot claim unilateral authority to throw out votes. Our next two guests joined 20 other historians in calling out efforts to challenge the vote as, quote, nothing but sheer political grandstanding and a danger to democracy. Benil Joseph is founding director of Center for the Study of Race and Democracy at the University of Texas at Austin, and Elizabeth Cobbs is professor of American history at Texas A&M University and a visiting scholar at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, so let's put today into context. I'll start with you, Benil. How do you view today's events?
Well, I think it's juxtaposed. This is a tremendous day for American democracy in the aftermath of both the November elections and yesterday's two Senate runoffs in Georgia. And we have the first black senator elect from the state of Georgia in American history. There's really only been two who've been elected by the popular vote, Tim Scott from South Carolina, and now Reverend Raphael Warnock. Hiram Revels and Blanche K. Bruce represented Mississippi during Reconstruction when senators weren't elected by the popular vote. And there's been very, very few African-Americans elected in the 20th century, starting with Edward Brooke in Massachusetts in 1966, all the way up to Carolyn Moseley Braun in Illinois. And then, of course, Senator Barack Obama and Kamala Harris as well. So it's a historic day. I think what's going on right now, something that should be pro forma in terms of the ratification of the Electoral College and these conspiracy theories and the president sort of gathering a mob in the nation's capital to oppose a legally decided election is really, really tragic and sad. But I think we should not undermine the success of people organizing and people really trying to exercise their democratic rights by just focusing on these efforts to undermine the democratic process.
Professor Cobbs, your thoughts on this? I mean, what Benil is saying is not to let the challenge of the vote in Congress overshadow this success.
Well, I love an optimist. So, I mean, I think that is a very worthwhile way to look at it. But I also think it's important to just, you know, it's sort of like if you're in a car, almost in a car crash, and you come close to the edge of a drop-off, it makes you appreciate what you've got. And I think that need to appreciate what we have is absolutely fundamental to our democracy. I'm always reminded of George Washington's farewell address, where that's where he starts. He says, you know, we are easily distracted because of our differences from what really counts, which is to appreciate this democracy we have. But he also warned that the one thing that could destroy it for us all is partisanship, which he always sort of said, you know, there's partisanship and there's patriotism. I mean, he talks about it in the same paragraph and he says, you know, one will lead us down a bad road. And so I think that this is a great moment to sort of say, okay, it's precedent is important because precedent is about trust and trusting in our institutions rather than trying to tear them down, which is what the president has done, even by challenging his own vice president and saying the vice president has a power which the vice president does not have. So he's just making stuff up. And, you know, I think that it's very important to just look at it in a clear-eyed way and to know that we have to take care against that.
Oh, Professor Cobbs, a question I have is about precedent. What does this mean for the election 2 years from now? What does it mean for the election 4 years from now, even further down the road? You have so many things happening that are just challenging anything we've ever known to happen in American history. What do you think about the precedent that this is setting?
Oh, I think that's a really great question, Peter, because, you know, every moment in a way is a precedent. We had the Civil War, right? The precedent of people who at that time were called fire eaters. Those are the people who were trying to tear down the system and shed doubt on the American system. And they led to a terrible war. But it's also sometimes when you come to these critical elections in American history where people of substance say, okay, listen, it's not about partisanship. Thomas Jefferson did that in 1800, which was a very contested election. And, you know, in his inaugural address said, okay, now's when we come back together. We're all, and that using the party terms at the time, we're all Federalists, we're all Republicans, as they were called then. And I think we have to do that now. So you're right. You're absolutely right. It's a big heads up. Is this how people are going to act from here on out? Or are people going to use this as a lesson learned? And, of course, I like the optimistic approach that we need to think of it as a lesson learned rather than as a way to be.
So let's ask the optimist, Peniel Joseph. You heard the president there say in that cut that it's a sad day for our country because Mike Pence is sworn to uphold the Constitution. You know, he's saying if he doesn't refute the vote, right? And really what Mike Pence will likely do today is uphold the Constitution by not refuting the vote. And we heard earlier in the show, the Republican Congressman Michael Waltz say that this is not about trying to overturn the election. This is just about exercising our rights. What do you think about that, those arguments?
Well, I think this really is connected to the nation's original sin of racial slavery. And if we go back to Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural, which is really one of the best inaugural addresses in American history, there's a point where he says, "Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away." But he says, "Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." What he meant by that was that what happened during the Civil War happened because of the immorality of racial slavery and the dehumanization of Black people's bodies. And right now, what's happening with this Jim Crow caucus attempting to decertify this election is the continuation of that scourge of war by other means in 2021. And we've seen the political reckoning of last year is the further continuation of that war by other means. So I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist. I understand that at the heart of the matter is, do Black people count as human beings within the democracy that they helped to create? And when we think about what happened with Reverend Warnock and what perhaps might happen with John Ossoff, we owe a tremendous debt to these Black women like Stacey Abrams, the Black women players of the WNBA who had shirts saying vote for Warnock when he was polling at under 9%. Black people continue to love this country and show a loyalty to the purpose and the foundations of our democracy, even when the nation steadfastly, stubbornly, perniciously refuses to love us back. So the point of today is to do two things. To, yes, acknowledge that we are in precipitously dangerous times when we have one major party that doesn't believe in American democracy. But we should also revel and acknowledge in the fact that we have in the great state of Georgia the first Black senator who's going to be elected to the Senate who really ran on a platform that was connected to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s beloved community, a community that was free of racial injustice, economic inequality, and violence. So we are coming closer in certain ways to not just perfecting the union, but really reimagining American democracy that is multiracial, that's multicultural, that's anti-racist, and that is centered on justice and democracy for all people, irrespective of their backgrounds, their religions, their economic status, or anything. So those are the things that we should focus on. And when we think about Abraham Lincoln, Lincoln is so transformative, and so is King, and so are people like Stacey Abrams, because they believe in small d democracy. They believe in the country, even when elected officials and at times ordinary citizens don't want to believe in the country. So I'm optimistic always because we're standing on the shoulders of these titans who bled for democracy, not just overseas, but right here in Texas, where I live, New York, where I'm from, nationally, because they thought that we had a great opportunity in the United States of America to be liberty's surest guardian because we believed in human rights for all people.
Man, I had a whole lot of questions for both of you guys, but I can't, I have no other questions except for, I want Peter to actually take it from here. We have 30 seconds.
Professor Cobbs, just quickly, because we only have 30 seconds here.
I think this also goes back to ancient Rome. I mean, I think Peniel is absolutely correct, but it also goes back to the problem of demagoguery. And Hamilton was killed for opposing a man who wanted to do exactly what Donald Trump is trying to do, which is to undermine an election.
Elizabeth Cobbs and Peniel Joseph, both historians, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.